you would open our minds as well as our ears and our hearts and our very lives to your word, for we ask it in Christ's name.
Amen.
So good to see you all in person. You look good on Zoom. And it was my love for you that kept you from seeing what I look like. Today, as you might have guessed as you listened to that gospel lesson, the gospel lesson is about end times. And that's such an unusual thing. We've only done that. This now makes the fourth Sunday in a row. Yeah. You know, and even if the preacher preaches on one of the other lessons, you still heard that as the good news. At, you know, November 12th, it was the 10 bridesmaids. November 19th, parable of the talents, when the master returns. And then Christ the King, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and separates the sheep from the goats. And then today. And today, the first Sunday in Advent, by the way, Happy New Year. And you may have noticed I'm struggling a little with my voice. So just be patient. If it goes, let me clear my throat. And,
also, Merry Christmas.
Oh, yeah. And Merry Christmas is coming soon. This is the theme for this day, the first Sunday in Advent, is always hope. We're hoping for that second Advent when Christ will come, that second coming. On Thanksgiving Eve, Father Chris, Father Bill, and I were in the office, and we were lamenting that these four Sundays have come back to back.
Yeah.
And I think I said something really intelligent like, oh, that's okay, because I got two other really good lessons to choose from. And, you know, because I was thinking at that time, yeah, the potter and the clay. Yeah, that's the one to go with. Apparently, I was wrong. Everything that happened has led me back to this lesson. And I'll tell you what got me at first was I was sitting with a group of men and they were having a discussion, and what came up for discussion was the big thing in the news, the war between Hamas and Israel.
Yeah.
And each one of them in turn expressed their opinion, maybe more than one opinion, but you know, they just kept sharing and sharing. And the others would nod their heads in approval. Most of them were pro-Israel, and that's fine. And then one of the men spoke up and said, I don't have an opinion, and what I say doesn't matter. But I do know what God says about this war. And for any of us who read the Bible, this war should not be a surprise.
Yeah.
These things must happen, Jesus said. And then his conversation began to turn more into a sermon. I believe we're not to worry. That's what Jesus said. Don't worry about it. But these are the end times. These things must happen. And I told him, unwisely, that I thought he was partially right. I said, I do believe we're not supposed to worry about the end times. But I do not believe that the Bible tells us that we're in the end times. And his response was, then you ain't reading the Bible right. That was a severe blow to the man sitting there in the collar. You ain't reading the Bible right. There's really no comeback for that. So if you want someone to stop, just say that. I've just been so depressed to find out I've been reading the Bible incorrectly. Further along in the conversation, I found out I was not even reading the right Bible. So I was doubly crushed. But there's nothing to be gained by theological disputation with someone who is absolutely convinced that their piety is correct and that yours is wrong. And their interpretation of Scripture trumps yours. And that's okay. That's his piety, not mine. But that did lead me back to the gospel. And the other thing that did was, in messing around on the internet this week, I found a wonderful website. I'm going to see if I can get it up here where y'all can see it, but at home. Rapture Ready is a website about the end times. And they have conveniently collected all the news stories and everything for you. But the one I wanted you to see most, a gauge of the end times. And if you tap on that, it will take you to, and I do encourage you to do this, raptureready.com. There are 45 categories that they track of things going on, and some you would expect from Scripture. Floods, famines, earthquakes, those kinds of things that are, you remember from Scripture, but they're also tracking unemployment and inflation and interest rates and financial unrest, drug abuse. I mean, there are 45 of these, and they assign a number to each one as to how things are going on that particular day. And then, like a Dow Jones average, it averages out for you. And then they give you, up at the upper left-hand corner, there will be a number you will see that will tell you for today. And it says, if it's 100 or below, that's a slow prophetic activity time. If it's 100 to 130, that's moderate. 130 to 160, that's very heavy. And if it's above 160, it says, fasten your seat belts. God, I mean, really, you don't want to be raptured without a seat or a car, as if they don't have seats in heaven. That way you can take your car with you. But, and I'm not saying this because I want to make fun of someone else's piety. I mean, yeah, I do, but... Okay. But I want you to at least take a look at the site and read about it. And if you're a liberal, I'm sorry. Liberalism is one of the things they track. Look at that, and you will see that today the total is 187. So fasten your seatbelts. And that's not because of the sermon. But all somebody shared that with me earlier this week. I said, that's just too good not to share with others. It does. I'm sure there's some great information on the site, but that index. So people are always so interested in when. I want you to listen to the gospel reading again. It's very short. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when a time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back. whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you asleep. For I say to you, what I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. Be on guard. Keep watch. And the church has done that for 2,000 years. We keep watching. We keep waiting. Why? I mean, a lot of people have stopped doing that. They don't even think about that. And then some think about it way too much. But do you remember when we were in school and you'd write a paper or a research paper and they'd give you the 5 W's? You remember them?
Yeah.
Who, what, when, where, why. Occasionally, they'd throw you a curve, they'd throw the H word in there. How would be the 6th question. So look at that. Who? Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
What? The second coming. When? Even if you ask Jesus, he's going to say, I don't know. I don't know. Matthew 24:36. About that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven or the Son, but only the Father. So that's who, what, when, where. Well, supposedly everyone will be able to see. Everyone will be able to see when this happens. So I would say everywhere. I mean, there are some will say Mount of Olives, because he touches down, the mountain splits in half, and it's, okay, I'm going to go with everywhere. Why? Why is Christ coming back? You heard it this morning, right before the confession. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. He's coming to take us to be with him. So the why is, he loves us. He loves us. He's coming for his bride. He's coming for his bride. And if you do want to throw in that how question, hey, that's the easiest one. How? On clouds of glory. And it's in the creed. He will come again in glory. He's coming in glory. But of all the questions that you could ask of the second coming of Christ, I think the most important question is why? It's because of love. The answer is love. It's because of that relationship that Jesus has with us, wants to maintain with us, and wants to have it with him where he is. That's the great hope of the church, the bride of Christ, to be with the groom. It's the great hope of the church. And so we watch, not out of a sense of dread. We watch because we're excited. We want the master to return. We want Christ to return. Here we are in his house. And we wait. And the not knowing when he comes should generate excitement. But it doesn't always. But it should, especially if we know that the motivation for it is love. Our great hope is to be with Christ. The first Advent made that possible. The second Advent will be the fulfillment of the promise. And as you heard earlier, he keeps his promises always. He will fulfill that promise. We'll be with him forever. Now, whip a little church history on you. St. Bernard Clairvaux. Just rolls right off the tongue, doesn't it? You think, the first thing you hear is you think of that big dog. Oh, a St. Bernard. St. Bernard was a very important leader in the church in the 12th century. And he said, there are really three Advents. Three Advents. There's the Advent of the Incarnation when Christ came the first time. There's the Advent of his glory, his coming in glory to close out this whole story. He said, but in between, there's an Advent where he comes to you. Each individual person. He comes to you, and you come to know him as your Lord and Savior. And I wanted to, he can correct me when I get there. I want to add another Advent. That fourth Advent I'm becoming more aware of is the Advent at the hour of our death. Each one of us is going to have one of those. And each one of us will meet Christ there. And since I started working at the VA hospital in October, I'm on surgical ICU most of the time. And I frequently meet patients who are in hospice. And I have the opportunity to sit and talk with them for long periods of time. Now, I used to think that people in hospice were at the point in their illness where they had given up any hope of being healed or cured, and they knew they weren't going to get any better, so they go into hospice, and they watch and wait. But I tell you, nothing could be further from the truth for these people, as I've come to know them. Hope is the most real thing in their lives. They are watching and they are waiting with great expectation. Doesn't mean they're not afraid of the act of dying, but they're not afraid of dying. They've made peace with that. And they have this great expectation of what lies before them. Most of the ones I've met are more certain of their faith than that little guy I had the disputation with last week. To them, it's the sure and certain hope of the resurrection. And they're almost there. They know that Jesus is coming, and he's coming to take them home. Why? Because he loves them, and he promised that he would. So they watch and wait. And I'll have to say that while it's my job to minister to these people, I have received far more ministry from them. Far beyond anything I could hope to give them. What I've learned is that hope is a lot more than wishing. We hope because we have a promise. What I would like to learn from them, it would be great if all of us could learn it, is to watch and to wait with that exact same expectation that they have every day. And so I'd have to say to Bernard of Clairvaux, I would want to say one of, I'm going to have to add a fifth one, a fifth Advent. And that's the Advent of every day. when I'm driving into work in the morning, I ask two things of God. One, that he would be with me in every room I go into, anybody I meet, anyone I talk to. But I ask for a divine appointment with him. Reveal yourself to me today. And when you ask, he does. If you ask for that divine appointment, it'll come. But you'll miss it if you don't watch. If you don't keep alert, if you're not awake, it could slip right by. So I would say to you, Happy New Year. Happy first Sunday of Advent. And I hope that your life is full of many Advents.
But you forgot one thing. War in Ukraine.
Which one?
War in Ukraine.
Yes. Right. We didn't talk about that one. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.